See You Now is a podcast highlighting the innovative and human-centered solutions that nurses are coming up with to solve for today's most challenging healthcare problems. Created in collaboration with Johnson & Johnson and the American Nurses Association.
This unlock in terms of the generative AI, it's allowing us to do so much, but we have to go slow and we have to go together so we learn together so we actually get to the scaled impact we're seeking. The first thing I say to nurses is don't fear these technologies, but don't abdicate your voice either. And I think that when fear takes over, two things tend to happen. We either resist it completely outright, or we disengage and we let decisions get made without us. And I don't want that to happen for nurses. I want them to be at the center of it. I think that there's still so much more work to be done, but I do try to represent that voice as a nurse, because for me, as an extension, it's the voice of the patient.
Welcome to See You Now. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, executive producer for See You Now. There is a palpable mix of excitement and anxiety about the latest impending wave of artificial intelligence. AI tools are being developed that will fundamentally impact our jobs, our relationships, our access to knowledge and creativity, our children's lives, and the planet. But for an industry like healthcare, where fax machines and pagers are common, where people struggle to find affordable care or adequate resources, and nurses are leaving the profession due to administrative burden and moral distress, can AI be an answer? In this two-part feature, The Clinicians Shaping Healthcare Technology, for our AI in Place series, host Oriana Baudette, Vice President of Innovation at the American Nurses Association Credentialing Center and Foundation, talks with a nurse and a clinician helping to shape the future of AI in healthcare for one of the largest technology companies in the world.
My name is Mary Varghese Presti. I'm Corporate Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at Microsoft Health and Life Sciences. I grew up in Philadelphia. I think of it as a very gritty city, and I rep Philly pretty hard. I grew up in an immigrant household, and in my household, healthcare and nursing in particular was part of our everyday life. My mom, she was a nurse, and in large parts of India at the time in the 70s, nursing was the culturally acceptable profession that women could pursue that also gave them an opening to pursue economic opportunity. And so in the Indian immigrant community that I grew up in, there were so many nurses around us because it was one of the most common and respected professions among the women who ended up settling here in the US. So I was surrounded by all these, we call them aunties, but all these aunties, these women who were nurses across specialties and settings, I saw them working so hard, and for them, nursing wasn't just a job. It represented agency and independence and mobility. And it was, of course, a way for them to support their family, but it also enabled them to move across borders. And so I would say from a very young age, especially with my mom as a nurse, I saw nursing as very serious work. I saw it as intellectually demanding. I did see it as emotionally taxing. And I also saw it as socially very important. And I saw it as empowering, and I associated it with independence. And I think the seeds of wanting to do something purposeful and having a career that was very much driven by mission started for me back there. And so I worked really, really hard to get into Penn, and I really do credit the exposure and the impact that continued to deepen for me given my time at Penn. I was at Penn during the heyday of Norma Lang and Linda Aiken. I think of her as the OG icon of nursing policy and research. And Linda did groundbreaking research on staffing and its association with patient outcomes. So just out the gate, it really gave me this mental model of not just me studying to be a clinical nurse, but that a nurse is part of a system of nursing. And that system of nursing is part of a bigger healthcare system. And it planted for me that systems shape outcomes at scale. And so I think all of that really laid a foundation for where my career took me over the years.
Well, Mary, we are just completely delighted to have you be a part of the See You Now podcast. And you've had this background that has spanned clinical care, health reform, biopharma, and digital health. What has that journey looked like? And moving from one aspect of the care delivery system to this broader technology role?
Yeah, I think I am by nature incredibly curious, and that curiosity combined with that mission driven and with that foundation of systems thinking. You know, I remember I worked as a pediatric nurse at Johns Hopkins. So the impatience and indignation of a 22-year-old, I was such a pain in the butt for my nurse manager. I challenged everything and asked a lot of questions like, why do we do that? And why? And I'm sure I was totally annoying. But when I went through that experience as, you know, being a bedside nurse, I had these questions in mind around why are things the way they are? Because I saw so many things broken, and we still have a lot of fragmentation in the healthcare system. So I remember one patient in particular, the clinical designation for that time was MRCP, so very severe cerebral palsy, couldn't speak, was a ward of the state and was in almost like a full body cast and had a shunt, and the shunt was malfunctioning. I was on night shift. And, you know, when you're taking care of a patient, especially back in that time, we were big proponents of primary care nursing. So we tried to be consistent about each nurse having the same patient over the course of time. And I started to really get to know this patient who couldn't verbalize anything, but I got to know his grunts and his moans and sort of the way that he would breathe. And something just felt really off during that night shift. And I, you know, went to the charge nurse and I said, something's not right. And I paged the neurosurge fellow that was on call, and he came and said, the shunt looks fine, the reading is fine. And he just seemed to be even more in pain. And I went and talked to the charge nurse, and the charge nurse said, look, you call the fellow, the next person to call is actually the attending. The attending's at home, it's 4 a.m. I think you're fine. And it just didn't feel fine. So I went back to her again, and she's like, look, if you want to call, it's on you. Like, she really just did not think I should do that. And I kind of did a calculus of like, well, if I'm wrong and he's fine, I'm a little bit embarrassed. But if I'm right and he's really not fine, that's just something that I felt really, really driven to just go ahead and call the attending at home. He actually came in right away, and they ended up taking the patient into surgery early that morning. And I'm telling this story because, again, it's these really indelible moments, right, in your life. I realized this patient had no family, was, as I said, a ward of the state. And it really landed on me that for those 12-hour shift, I am all that that patient really has. I am that patient's advocate. I am the one who has to speak on behalf of that patient. And I took that with me really as a touchstone throughout my entire career. And it looked very different. So I really got interested in health policy and health reform. This was during the first Clinton administration. Hillary Clinton was talking about universal health care for children. I kind of pulled that thread. I ended up going to consulting on the public sector reform side. That led me to big pharma. You know, I really wanted to understand healthcare from the corporate healthcare vantage point, but really pursuing problems to be solved in healthcare. It is not surprising that it took me eventually and for some time now to tech. I get asked a lot about how is it that you're an executive at Microsoft, but you're also a nurse. And I get that it's a little bit different or maybe a bit of an outlier, but I didn't come to healthcare through technology. I came to technology through healthcare. And I came to technology through nursing specifically. I've had a very engaging career to date. I think that there's still so much more work to be done, but I do try to represent that voice as a nurse, because for me as an extension, it's the voice of the patient. And so when I was working on health reform and policy, it was really more the voice of the broader society here and the gains we want in healthcare. And more recently, the kind of work I'm doing right now is very specifically the voice of nurses and the challenges that they're facing and the ways in which we can support their needs.
I want to loop back and tie your initial experiences to what you just shared about the work that you've led. And you talked about this immigrant experience as a nurse, right? You experience what it means to translate when somebody is on the outside. Maybe that's language, maybe that's cultural barriers, and you are exposed to that in different ways. And so when care happens in homes and outside of the hospital system, there's this aspect of how do you integrate all of your experiences, understanding those barriers, understanding this need to translate into your experiences and work today.
Just going back to the story of all those aunties and my mom's own immigrant story, I think one out of six nurses today are foreign born. And nursing as a workforce is so diverse. So we must be inclusive by design. We look at designing tools that really are looking at diverse clinical needs. This whole game of AI, right? It's really about if we're going to push healthcare into the frontier, it has to be with empathy, it has to be with trust. It has to be responsibly. It has to be fair. And so, all of that is a big part of how we create technologies for clinicians to use. So, I would say that all of that is part of the how. And then, when we think about the what, we do look carefully at where are our front lines? Where are there the greatest gains to be had? I mean, Microsoft, historically, its legacy is suite of productivity tools. And what's wonderful about what we're doing right now in healthcare is really bringing those productivity tools purpose-built into the hands of clinicians, where AI becomes the floor. It's taking away the rote, the redundant, it's amplifying certain insights, it's automating certain tasks so that the clinician can really spend their mind share being the clinician, being the things that are so human and requires human judgment. And I think we need more and more of that. And I think that is where this era of AI is going to take healthcare.
And how do we ensure that this health technology and these AI tools are truly inclusive, that they're usable and beneficial, where there's broader predictive analysis with these digital tools? There's also this higher probability of a future with more hybrid teams made up of both human caregivers and digital agents. What does that look like from your perspective?
So from our side, we have really robust fundamentals in how we design and how we develop technology. So said differently, we don't have some sort of compliance checklist that we just review when we're all done. Every step of the way, we have a responsible AI framework. So we're very, very focused, and those policies are transparent. We have very rigorous protections. You know, we really think about how do we design, how do we build, how do we test, how do we deploy, how do we monitor in a way that promotes fairness, promotes inclusivity, accountability, safety, ethics. So I would say that that's just in our DNA for how we actually create the product. Now, there's a whole other stage of that, which is we co-develop with nurses. For this particular nursing product, we also have clinician tools that we've developed for physicians as well as radiologists. But speaking about this nursing one, we designed it with nurses, with staff nurses, with nurse managers, obviously with nurse executives, all at the center of it. And then when we go to pilot it, which we have over 10 health systems right now, we call it private preview. There's also the whole part of, well, how do you deploy it? And how do you deploy it in an actual nursing unit? And what are the learnings? And so it doesn't just stop at we designed it and we built it with fairness in mind. We follow it all the way through. We really partner with health systems, with those nurse managers, with the nurses themselves on how is it then getting deployed? What greater learnings can we get? How do we then iterate and refine? So it's really the complete life cycle.
Part of this work is creating these partnerships directly with healthcare systems around these emerging tools. What are broader trends that you're seeing?
I am delighted to, first of all, see positive trends. I've seen an uptick in health system willingness to invest in technology for nurses. I see us moving from experimentation to scaling of virtual nursing platforms. And these virtual nursing platforms are changing not just the care models on the units, but the paradigm of nursing. So you have different institutions are doing them differently, but using virtual nursing in some cases to do the really time intense, high quality discharge planning and education, for example, through a virtual nurse platform where there's a nurse that's not also being called to five different rooms for five different things, but can really be focused and dedicated. I'm seeing remote workflows, so like remote code teams providing guidance when there's a code underway, these wired hospital rooms that are, sort of you go in a room and you're a patient and, the design of the room is from the perspective of the patient where everything is not just about staring at the ceiling, that the room is set up so you can see what's going on in the hallway. There's a screen in front of you that pings with the face and the name and the function of any individual that walks into your room. So I'm just loving all of that ambient, which is the product that we've been working so hard on and that we have out in market. It's conversational AI. So we launched the first commercially available ambient solution that we purpose-built for nurses. And what that is you put this in the hands of nurses and they are using their phone and they are getting consent and they record the conversation they're having with the patient when they come in. And they're saying out loud vital signs, pain score. They're making 100 observations in one visit into a room around the IV or the Foley catheter or ambulation. And when they say that out loud, the documentation is happening for you. So we're seeing that scaling. I'm seeing an acknowledgement across health systems that the documentation burden on nurses is now, I shouldn't say now, I think there's now an appreciation that it extends to physical burden, an emotional burden, a cognitive burden. And all of those things have knock-on effects on staff turnover and staff shortages, and an appreciation and an acknowledgement and understanding that nurse quality, nurse availability, that these things impact the bottom line. Procedures, services, bed census, these are all hinging on high quality, satisfied, engaged nurses. I guess to sum up, I see a really significant trend on what I have essentially viewed as an invisible workforce, very much visible and now actually being served.
I love that. And when you think about nurses utilizing these tools, which our physician partners have been utilizing for years and years and years, what does it take to gain the trust of patients and healthcare workers around introducing artificial intelligence into that care setting? And what does that look like?
Yep. So first of all, it starts with actually solving real problems, right? Like this whole world of AI, it's such a frothy market. Everybody is trying to enter with some sort of AI use case. So I would start with, are you solving a real problem? And does your concept actually solve it? So we really studied the research. We looked at what does a nurse do in a shift? Where does the nurse spend their time? And it was really eye-opening at the very start of this journey for us when we realized that nurses spend a quarter of their shift just documenting. And any nurse you talk to, any nurse manager you talk to, any nurse executive you talk to, they'll say that is an underestimation, that it's much more than that. This is a real problem. They spend all of this time on documentation. They're caring for the technology. They would say that they feel like data entry clerks. And the reason that this was such a problem is they went into nursing to deliver patient care, and all of this documentation burden was pulling them away from that patient care. And what did we do? We created workstation on wheels or computers on wheels, and we have them that go up and down the hallways. So okay, so we made it a little bit closer to them, but they're still in it all the time. And so number one is starting with a real pressure point that you can actually think about AI solving. And then the second thing is, we would go and shadow them. We would watch them. We would see what our nurse is doing. We're watching them write, and we've all experienced this. You're writing on your hands, you're writing on tape, I'm sticking it on your stethoscope, on your scrubs, whatever it is. But even though they have a workflow for documentation, they're batch documenting because they're putting the patient first. They're making sure they can get to the patient and get all those needs. And then they sit down and document. And so a big part of gaining trust of the workers and the patients is solving a problem that benefits both. It's not presuming that you have the answer, but actually putting yourself physically in the space of what's going on, observing. And then we had an innovation loop of these staff nurses, and we would have lots of concepts, and they would say that would never fly, that this is the problem with that. And gosh, we loved that so much because that kind of rich feedback early on to make sure that we actually end up building the right thing and also build it the right way is super important. So I would say that collaboration, fundamental, transparency in how we build, and then co-creating with these frontline nurses to make sure that we're actually in their workflow and that the solution's actually solving a problem the way that they naturally work. If it doesn't work, you're not going to trust it. So the AI has to work. It has to be consistently working. And of course, all the things I mentioned earlier, you don't have any questions about the privacy, the compliance, the safety, all of those things. So those are just table stakes in how you develop technologies that include AI for clinicians and for the ultimate benefit of patients.
And our physician partners take an oath to do no harm. And in nursing, we have our code of ethics, which essentially tells us to do good. Now you're working in this national and international position around tech innovation, where tools can both heal and unintentionally harm. How do you personally navigate nursing ethics in this context around AI development?
So, and again, I'm speaking, as you said, personally. So, I personally don't see a conflict between nursing ethics and innovation. I really see nursing ethics as my compass for innovation. Physicians' code of ethics, of course, do no harm, the Hippocratic Oath. The nursing code of ethics, it really pushes us one step further from that. It's asking us to actively do good. I go back to that story about the ward of the state. That was my patient. It's asking us to advocate. It's asking us to protect the dignity of the patient in our charge and to see that whole person, not just the diagnosis. So when I think about AI in healthcare, all of those values that I just mentioned around the nursing code of ethics, I hold those so close. AI has this power to really wick away the kinds of things that nurses have to do in workflows that are poorly designed or frankly are not clinical in nature, but somebody has to do it and it lands on the nurse. It's low value work, it's rote work. And so I see AI as having this power to automate a lot of that stuff and make all of that much faster so that I, as a nurse, can actually bring everything I have to bear for my patient during my shift. And I also am always reminded that trust is not assumed, it's earned. And so with AI, we have to earn that. And so that's what we talked about earlier around transparency and safety, but also humility, right? If something isn't working, pausing, really listening to the nurses, refining, iterating, adjusting, that is the way through this. And so I see at its best that AI is going to help all of us do more good, to keep patients safer, to deliver more humane care, and to be able to deliver it more sustainably across our workforce.
And where you're starting to move towards is this aspect of high tech, high touch, and the importance of that clinician experience with the individual that they're caring for. And nurses and providers interpret that ambiguity and build trust with patients in ways that AI can't. How do you see AI fitting into the clinical workflows without losing that human connection? And if you could share how you're engaging with and working with nurses and organizations to develop these tools and why that's so critical. And if you could describe how those collaborations work and what it sounds like and feels like in real time.
Yep. These aren't just what I think it's going to do with. This is actually what we're seeing because, like I said, we have 10 health systems right now that have the ambient nursing, a solution that they're using. And I am so excited because this is just the tip of the iceberg. But I'll give you a couple of examples of what's going on. So, one is when you think about a nurse going into a patient's room, you think you're going to go in and maybe you have a quick med to pop into the IV or whatever it is. But because they're going in and they're turning on this recording, a lot of times we've experienced this, right? You go in, you think you're going to be in there for like a 2 minute thing, and you end up in there for like 25 minutes. 25 minutes of that engagement back and forth with the patient is 25 minutes more of observations and data points that are now being captured. And you are constantly observing and you're looking for patterns. And so now you have more data points to identify those patterns much faster. And because the documentation is happening much more quickly, you don't have this latency. You're not going back and batch documenting when you have a minute to sit down at the nurse's station. And so there's not just more richness of data, but it's actually entering in the system closer to real time. So the broader care team, like we've had situations where one nurse had just come on and documented something, and I think it was the neurologist said, "Oh, like wow, that now seems like a pattern." And then it enabled them to actually start an intervention for that patient. So when I think about more data points, quicker pattern detection, shorter latency and actually getting the documentation in there, all of those things. I know I'm using like sort of technical and documentation terms right now, but if you zoom out, wow, that's really impacting high quality healthcare outcomes. So that's one example. Another example, you talked about not losing the human connection. We had this experience where one of the nurses that was using the solution is hard of hearing. They have a Bluetooth stethoscope, and they were saying, wow, this solution really helps because I can also just quickly look at the transcript and actually read what's been said. I'm catching so many more things. It really is an assist for me in a way that I didn't think was possible in terms of how I interact during my shift with my patient and with care teams. So that's really exciting. The other piece of this is you're going into a patient's room and you're verbalizing, right? The solution works because it's listening. And so I'm coming in now and I'm saying out loud, "Hey, Ori, looks like your blood pressure is this. And, do you have an appetite today? Tell me about your pain score." I'm saying things out loud. And so when you think about the broader goal of shared decision making and patient engagement, ambient technologies that start to get into the hands of nurses is going to dramatically drive up what we called caring out loud. So because you're verbalizing it, you're also inviting that patient into this set of observations, and you're strengthening that patient's own level of engagement. When I was a nurse, I would go in, and a lot of what I would do would be completely silent. Like I'm just clocking a lot of things silently. And so I'm really excited to see what this uncovers for just nurse-patient interaction, but also patients just having agency and being much more informed about what's going on in their journey of care when they're in the health system being cared for by a nurse.
And Mary, how do these tools work with language translation?
You mean different languages?
Correct. Yep.
I think that is going to become easier and easier as the models are, it's non-linear the way that these models are improving. But those are all the things that are actually going to be available. Like now, there are a lot of interpretation offerings out there. And I think the value as we start to deepen a product like the one I'm talking about is the more and more and more use cases, so to speak, that we layer into it. So that is one of them, Ori, for example. Another one is just being able to keep track of all your tasks. Another one is, oh, I've just been on a shift for 12 hours and I've had this helping me document, but now I can summarize at the end of shift and make that shift handoff so much easier, but also so much more comprehensive and accurate. Because I don't have to worry that I might have forgotten something that happened in hour one, and at hour 12, I'm giving handoff to the new nurse coming on. So this is the beginning, tip of the iceberg of a lot of value that will be delivered to nurses at the speed at which we are able to understand how to define the problem and point AI at solving those problems for nurses.
And when we think about this role of change, right, the amount of change that's happening across healthcare and now specifically with these new tools, what's the role of change management and adoption around these emerging technologies? And what does successful everyday AI implementation look like for nurses to keep those teams engaged, assess those workflows, and, while rolling out new practices and ways of working that are effective, to improve care in the healthcare environment?
I think change management is a big piece of any kind of technology adoption, specific to nurses and specific to AI. We're partnering with the people that are actually on the floors, with the nurse managers. We are sharing best practices and we are continually learning what it takes, right? What I really appreciate about nursing is it's just part of the nursing education and discipline. We are taught quite a lot about behavior modification, right? Like that's part of our training. And this is just an extension of that. Like, how do you change behavior now that there is this technology available? It is a big shift for nurses to speak out loud, to care out loud. It's not the way that they have been taught. It's not the way that they have been practicing. It's different for physicians because physicians have been dictating for years. And so going from dictation to conversational is actually going the opposite direction where it's much more natural and freeform. So there is work to be done in terms of helping nurses. And I think the key thing is when they do it and they see great value, as is the case with all of us, right? If we try to do something and we're not seeing any benefit, we're probably going to have a hard time going back to it. So it goes back to the AI has to be accurate. It has to be solving real problems. It has to be intuitively designed. Our vision is that nurses can be eyes-free, hands-free with technology because they're mobile. They need their hands. They're auscultating. They're palpating. They need the use of their hands. And so we want to get there with the technology. So it's really understanding, like, what do they need? How do we make it easy? But also, we should not be sitting in this ivory tower of a technology firm presuming that we know, which is why it is super important to co-develop this with health systems and nursing units. And it will be a journey, but I think, you're looking at a nursing workforce where the majority probably at this point have not known life without a mobile phone. So people are expecting to use technology in their day-to-day, and nursing for the most part hasn't really had that option other than the electronic health record, really. So I think that is a big piece of it. And I think when I think back to the early days of the internet, we were like, oh my God, this is so scary. And, I don't know. And I don't trust it. And I would never put my credit card information on the internet. And now we're all doing online banking and we're doing online shopping. And, like it's just become a part of how we do things. And we had to create guardrails and we had to learn how to look at a Google search result and decide that that's a sponsored one and this is probably more credible. Like we're going to build those skills. I'm not even talking about nurses and in healthcare, I just mean all of us as like walking on this planet, given the era of AI advancements that we're all in collectively.
And, part of this, when we think about your experience, what you're seeing across all of these different health systems as you're rolling this out, and yet there are a lot of, health systems and organizations across the country that are hoping to get this technology or hearing about it. What do nurses and clinicians need to know about these new technologies, and what questions should they be asking?
So, one of the things I would say is you need to get familiar with these AI tools and using AI. You need to get educated. Don't fear it. The first thing I say to nurses is don't fear these technologies, but don't abdicate your voice either. Like, I understand the fear of the unknown, and the way that you address that is to get familiar because fear is also the thief of agency. I want nurses to have AI solutions. I want them to have that option. I say often, nurses deserve AI. AI is not here to replace nursing judgment. AI is not going to replace nursing touch. The moments that you are there at a patient's most vulnerable moment, it's here to take some of the friction that is accumulated around the work, the documentation, the duplication, the chasing of the information, the chasing of the supplies. Where is that wheelchair? Why are we still waiting on this, from the blood bank? Really addressing some of those things so nurses can really focus on the parts of care that only human beings can provide. And I think that when fear takes over, two things tend to happen. We either resist it completely outright, or we disengage and we let decisions get made without us. And I don't want that to happen for nurses. I want them to be at the center of it. That only happens, though, if nurses are involved early in design and pilots and feedback. But I guess I would say, fear closes doors, and like engagement and participation opens them.
What lessons have you learned about driving change in healthcare and navigating all of these different systems? Talk a bit about how you are bringing your experiences back to the nursing profession.
Well, first and foremost, just like remembering what it's like to be on your feet all day long and understanding the toll of what I mentioned earlier about the physical, the cognitive, the emotional burden. It's really, really important to have those top of mind because it informs everything that you're doing around the design or the development or the piloting or the scaling of it. Always asking, is this going to save nurses' time? Is it going to work in their environment? Is it going to prove value? Will there be early wins? Are they going to have trust in it? And therefore, will they adopt it? All of that change management, really great product intuition, super, super important to bring all that together. This unlock in terms of the generative AI, it's really allowing us to do so much, but we have to go slow and we have to go together so we learn together so we actually get to the scaled impact we're seeking. And just being open, Satya Nadella here at Microsoft really pushes the we need to be learn-it-alls, not know-it-alls. And the killer is to say, oh, we've already seen this before. I'm really, really being open and being curious and learning together, I think, is how we are going to figure all of this out.
What you just shared is so important. So when you're thinking about your experience, and I love learn-it-alls, not know-it-alls, how have your thoughts about the nurses and the nursing profession changed through this work, or what have you learned from them? What have you learned from nursing?
I think that nurses, they are a scrappy, resourceful, adaptive bunch. I chuckle a little bit like when you go and you actually do the shadowing and the observations, man, there are so many workarounds. Like if something is not working for them, they have a workaround. And that bodes really well for technology adoption because it requires an agility and nurses at the end of the day really care about doing the right thing by the patient. And so, if they can see the value, they are extremely adaptable and they're extremely resourceful. So, that is something that I have learned about nurses. And I think if you look at my career path, I like to go do things I've never done before. I think it really speaks to my own desire and ability to adapt. And it's served me well, and I think it's going to serve the nursing profession well because we are entering a time, I like to say, like, imagine knowing everything you know now about the internet, like right before the internet happened. That's kind of where we are right now. Like, there's all this stuff that's going to be possible with AI, but we're at the very, very beginning stages of it. And so I think that there is so much potential for nurses to live in a world where technology finally blends into the background and is not at the forefront of everything they do, but it actually is removed between them and the patient. And it's intuitive and it's proactive and it's supportive, assistive, and augmenting them. It becomes the floor for them from which they rise to deliver excellent patient care with so much humanity. So I'm very excited about that. And I think that's where we're headed.
And when we think about nursing, and as we look at an aging population, a shrinking clinician workforce, what are your thoughts around the global workforce shortage and the role of technology?
So I know that we have a global shortage. I'm also bolstered by the fact that coming out of the pandemic, there was actually an uptick in applications to nursing schools. So I think that there are people that are still going into clinical professions. I think that the way that work is going to be done is going to change. And if you think about the AI frontier in healthcare, you start with something that automates what you do today, does it faster, does it with less effort on your part. The second phase is agents, agentic services. So think about it as like a workflow, actually, that can be done for you that you've designed. And I see the opportunity to do that around things that take quite a bit of time and doesn't necessarily need the human judgment or clinical mindset of an individual. The third, and I'll be honest, we don't really know how long it's going to take to get here. It could be, 10 years, I don't know, is what we really think about as a hybrid workforce. And the hybrid workforce is where the human and a digital colleague work together. And so there are things that humans are managing that are executed by those agentic services. And so in that realm, if you can bear with me for a second and you can think about that world, I just see the human interaction between a nurse and a patient being all the things that you really love about being a nurse and all the things that you don't like to do, don't want to do, and that aren't purely nursing and clinical and nuanced and judgment and physical touch and comfort. There will likely be things that can be done as we gain trust, as we gain familiarity, as we get educated, as we get experience under our belts, that we think we could give to some agentic services or an agent to do. And so I'm extremely excited about that because, if you think about the healthcare system, an attending can delegate something to a fellow can delegate to the resident, a resident delegates to the intern delegates to the medical student. That doesn't exist for nursing. And I would love the nurses to be able to delegate some of these workflows that need to happen to a variety of agents to get it done for them. What excites me the most is to have all of the information comprehensively so that the best decisions are being made so that the quality and the outcomes dramatically improve. As time goes on, the intelligence that is what you get out of these AI value propositions is going to be affordable. I think it's going to be accessible. I think it's going to be ubiquitous. And I look forward to that world because I cannot think of any industry more deserving, more gratifying, and more in need of it than healthcare.
Special thanks to Nurse Mary Varghese Presti, Corporate Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Microsoft Health and Life Sciences, and to host Oriana Baudette, Vice President of Innovation at the American Nurses Association Credentialing Center and Foundation. Coming up in the second episode of our two-part feature, The Clinicians Shaping Healthcare Technology, for our AI in Play series, Ori talks with Dominic King, former surgeon and vice president of health at Microsoft AI, where his team builds and scales consumer health tools that see more than 50 million health-related sessions per day.
Arguably, the biggest challenge facing healthcare at the moment is the mismatch between global demand for healthcare and its very increasingly constrained supply. And generally, I feel very optimistic that these technologies will close that gap.
As we race toward this AI-powered future, being aware, being involved, intentional and transparent about the design and deployment of AI will build trust, avert harm in ways we might not predict or intend, and enable humans to flourish. If you haven't done so yet, subscribe to See You Now wherever you listen to podcasts to make sure you catch every episode as we dive into the thrilling possibilities and daunting challenges of AI. For See You Now, I'm Rebecca McEnroy. Thanks for listening. Nurses are transforming healthcare through innovation, compassion, and leadership. And Johnson & Johnson is proud to continue its 125-year commitment to champion nurses through recognition, skill building, leadership development, and more. The American Nurses Association is dedicated to building a culture of innovation. Nurses improve the lives of patients and communities through innovative thinking, empathetic connection, scientific rigor, and sheer determination. ANA is proud to support and advocate for our nation's most valuable healthcare resource, our nurses. For more information on See You Now, visit seeyounowpodcast.com and listen to any of the earlier episodes in our library wherever you get podcasts.